Okay, we ended off yesterday.
What's the word when you say something superfluous?
Okay, we ended off yesterday at the bottom of Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph. We were talking about these psukim in Yoshua. Ayin Aleph Amud Bet. We were talking about the psukim from Yoshua about what happened in the time of Yoshua, right? It says, "Ba'etahi amar Hashem Yoshua, aseh lecha chorvot tzurim." So the first real issue is, how could God be commanding him something that was already commanded to Avraham? So they're saying it must be that he added the mitzvah of milah, okay? Of priah, right? The other stage, right? The milah is the cutting, and the priah is the tearing back of the pulling back of the skin. So then they say, well, maybe he was just telling him to give a brit milah to all the people who didn't have brit milah, because it said, right, kimulim ayu kolam ayutzim, but kolam yilodim, right, didn't have a brit milah. So maybe it wasn't that he was commanding him an extra mitzvah, right? Maybe it was just that he was commanding them just to do brit milah in general. So then they said, but then why does it say the word him came my shuv? Because the pasuk says, ushuv mol b'nei Yisrael shenit. So why does it say again? If they didn't do it, then it shouldn't be again. It should be do it for the first time. So the answer is, it must be that the shuv comes to add priah, okay, the mitzvah of priah. And then they say, well, then what's the purpose of shenit? In other words, there's this, a lot of duplicity. It says, and again, mulah b'nei Yisrael shenit. So then they say, it must be to say that their sof milah and tchilat milah are the same. That just like tchilat milah is ma'akevet, also sof milah is ma'akevet. And there we see from the things that are, the tzitzin, the ma'akvin et ha-milah, and that there's certain things that make you, that you need to redo the brit milah or just fix it up. Okay, so there they say, that's what they learn, that there's a mitzvah of priah. Okay, now we're going to start
Just ask, babies have the brit milah, mm-hmm. when the mohel prepares them before him, is that considered the priah? And then the milah is the actual thing?
No, because they do the milah and the priah together.
Because there's no such thing as tchilat milah and sof milah, because it's such a quick...
What does it mean, tchilat milah? What does it mean, sof milah?
If it's only that actual, what we know as...
No, I think sof milah means to make sure that when it's done, it's fully done. That's what I think they mean, tchilat milah and sof milah. Right, what exactly does it mean, tchilat milah and sof milah? I think it means that, sof milah... Right, sof milah means after it's been done and yet there's still something left. It doesn't mean the beginning of the process, the end of the process. It means after it's done, if there's still something left, then just like it wouldn't have been good if there was orla there before and you'd have to cut it, even if there's orla there left at the end, you still have to cut it. Okay? And that's when they discuss exactly what the definition of is, what are tzitzin that are makvi. Okay? So that's what it means. It means after the milah. Right, so after the milah, it's exactly like the beginning of the milah. If there's orla, you have to get rid of it. If there's no orla, you don't. Okay, sorry, I didn't explain that well enough. Okay, ubamidbar. Now we want to know my time alone, mahol. Why weren't they doing brit milah in the midbar? So ibai dema mishum chulsha deorcha. Maybe because they were tired from, it was hard to do brit milah when you're in the process of moving. So someone pointed out yesterday, but wait, they weren't moving, right? 38 years, they just stayed in the same place. But the Mefreshim explain that since they could potentially have been moving at any of those times, therefore it was as if, right, they couldn't do the brit milah because they never knew. They had to always be prepared. Maybe we're going to move. You wonder what that must have been like after 38 years of not knowing, right? You haven't moved in 38 years, but yet you still have to always be on your toes and be ready. V'bayit emas, a different reason is, mishum de lo nashiv lehu ruach sfonit. Okay, this is... Rashi explains, what's this ruach tzfonit? It's a ruach nocha. Lo chama v'lo tzonenet v'chama zarachat. Okay, it's this way that it's a wind that's a very calm wind, but it kind of like cools things down a little, but doesn't yet make it freezing cold. Okay, it's a nice, comfortable wind.
That's weird because usually the ruach tzfonit is the hara'aba me'atzafon.
Mitzafon tipatach hara'ah, it comes from the north. Interesting. And yet this ruach tzfonit is considered a calm wind. Okay? So now we want to know, what does it mean? Why wasn't there a ruach tzfonit? Detanya, here it says in a braita, kol otan 40 shana shu Yisrael b'midbar lo nashva lahem ruach tzfonit. My time, what's the reason? Ibait ema. Okay, so first they just brought a braita to prove it. Okay, braita's done. Now we're going to go into the Gemara. It's going to explain what's the reason for this ruach tzfonit. So again, we have two reasons. Either they didn't do brit milah because of chosha d'orcha, okay, they were going to, always had to be prepared that they were going to move, or because this ruach tzfonit wasn't there, and therefore they were, what's the issue? They needed the Ruach Tzfonit in order to feel better, to
heal.
Thank you. They needed the Ruach Tzfonit for healing purposes, and therefore, without that, they weren't going to heal properly, so they didn't do the Brit Milah. So now, Ibait Ema Mishum de Nizufim Hayu. Maybe God was angry with them. Okay, and that's why he didn't give them this Ruach Tzfonit. Okay, now the Mefarshim have a bit of a debate here. Okay, what Avera did they do, right? Why were they Nizufim? So some say Cheta Egel. What's the benefit of saying Cheta Egel is that explains why all 40 years, because the Cheta Egel happened in the beginning of the Midbar period. But if you say that it was Cheta Egel, some of the Mefarshim say, but wait, but God forgave them already. So how could he say that they were angry if he already forgave them? Right, so if they're forgiven, then he can't be angry. Right, it's a great concept here. Right, if you get forgiven by God or by anybody, right, they're not supposed to still be angry with you. The whole idea of forgiving is to get beyond it. So then they say, well, it must have been then the Meraglim. Okay, so then the Meraglim. What's the issue with the Meraglim? The problem is the Meraglim only happened into the second year there, so that doesn't explain why they didn't do a Brit Milah at the beginning. So either you say Kol HaRa'im Shana doesn't really mean Kol HaRa'im Shana, and they really did Brit Milah in the beginning, right? Okay, and it's just a way of speaking, or you know, some of the first have a problem with that because of it, and they reject that opinion. The benefit of the Chena Meraglim is there; they weren't totally. They were still, God was still angry with them. They were dying out the whole time. And, you know, maybe, although even then, it also says, Vayomer Hashem Salachti Kedvarecha, and there is some sort of forgiving, so it's also a little difficult to say. Okay. V'ibayt Eim, a second option, since anyway, this option is a little problematic, because why should God be angry with them? Dilo Nivdor Ananeh Kavod. They didn't want the wind to blow, because it was going to move away the Ananeh Kavod. Sherry, do you need help finding it? You want me to get it for you? Yes. Yeah. Okay, no problem. So the Ananeh Kavod, okay, so here we're worried the Ananeh Kavod were there to protect God, to protect the Jews from God, right? So if they're there to protect the Jews...
From God or by God?
I'm sorry, I'm trying to find this and talking at the same time. Okay, fine. Here's your spot right there. Okay, so what's the idea with the Ananeh Kavod? They're there to protect the Jewish people. If a wind comes, it's going to move the Ananim out of the way. And therefore, they're not going to be able, right? You think about it. I started thinking when I was reading this yesterday. It was like a cloudy existence, right? You have these ananim covering you. You can't have a wind that blows them away. For the Jews, it was like living in a cloud for all those years. In other words, living mamash, right? Obviously, that's according to the Shita, the Ananeh Kavod were actual ananim, right? But here it's saying they didn't want the sun to shine on them because it would, you know, the clouds were protecting them. So for good or for bad, in other words, here in a sense it was kind of cloudy for them all the time and dark, but on the other hand, and therefore they couldn't even do Brit Milah, right? So, but yet they were necessary to protect them. So they were there for protection and therefore couldn't be moved away.
Could sort of engineers would be open on top.
Right.
And that they wouldn't
you
blow
could.
Away the wind.
You could. Yeah. You could think about it. But, right. I mean, all Rashi says that the sun couldn't come through. Like, it's amazing to think about that they just didn't have the sun shining at all, according to this interpretation. Amura Papa, and here's a really interesting line. Hilkach, therefore, based on all this that we've been saying, Yoma de Eva, if there's a cloudy day, the Yoma de Shota, and there's a day with a south wind coming, which is a bad wind, Loma Halinambe, the Loma Sufrinambe, okay, you shouldn't do a Brit Milah, and Misufrinan, I forgot what that is. What do you see?
Should let blood on
it. Oh, right. They shouldn't do bloodletting at all. Okay, that was, we talked about this bloodletting. That was what they thought was for, it was healthy to get rid of the blood in your body, to let some blood come out. So you shouldn't do that on that kind of a day because, you know, it's dangerous. You won't have the sun to protect you or this north wind. V'ha'idna didashu barabim shomer p'taim Hashem. And nowadays, the people aren't careful about this. We hope that God protects the foolish people. Okay? So the poskim actually say that that nowadays we don't really go by this, but there's some of the poskim say that if you don't do the Brit Milah, right? We're always very careful to do the Brit Milah on the right day, but they say if someone doesn't want to do it for this reason, they're allowed to push it off. Okay? Because of the weather. Crazy, right? Anyway. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. Kol otan arba'im shana shayu Yisrael b'midbar lo haya yom shelo nashva b'ruach tzfoni b'chatzi alayla. Okay, so even though we just said there wasn't Ruach Tzfonit, now we're told by the source that the Ruach Tzfonit would come davka echatzi alayla, maybe like for a minute, it's not clear how long, but there would be this moment in time that the Ruach Tzvonit would go, and it was Davka b'chatzi alayla. Why b'chatzi alayla? Shenemar, v'hi b'chatzi alayla, v'ashem yikach kol b'chur. Okay, we learned it out from this pasuk that Davka in the middle of the night at midnight, Hashem killed all the firstborns. So the Gemara now asks an obvious question, my Talmud, how do they learn it from there, that there was a Ruach Tzvonit? So ha kamash malan de'et ratzon miltahi. This teaches you that if God chooses a moment to help you, that's called an eight ratzon. And that eight ratzon, because that was the time God decided to kill all the firstborn to save us from Mitzrayim, that became a time of ratzon, a time that God would be there for us. And therefore, every night after that, there would always be this Ruach Tzvonit at this. That would be the time that God would come for the Jewish people and be there for them, you know, to help them. Amar Rav Huna. Okay, that's the end of this the sugya about the milah and the midbar. What?
No, and the Ruach Tzvonit.
Right, and the Ruach Tzvonit and how we approach these things. Okay, now we're going to talk about mashuch. Okay, what's a mashuch? A mashuch is someone who's... Now, there's two kinds of cases of a mashuch. One is you do a brit milah, and then the orla kind of comes back, okay? It gets, like, pulled, so to speak, okay? It happens, let's say, in a natural way, okay? That's one way of it happening, where it looks now like you don't have a brit milah. Okay? That's one option. Another option, which people used to do, was someone would have a brit milah and they didn't want to be a Jew anymore. They didn't want to be associated with Jewish people and they would pull their orla, okay? Like pull the skin so that it would cover the top. And then it would look like he wasn't a Jew. Okay? So there's two types of cases of a mashuch. What they're going to say here is that they're talking about, the Mefarshim explained that they're really talking about both cases. Whether he did it on purpose or whether it just kind of stretched back. Okay? Amrav Huna, Dvar Torah, Mashuch Ochel Betruma. Mida Oraita, if you're Mashuch, you did a Brit Milah, but it grew back and it looks like you don't have a Brit Milah, you can still eat Truma. Because we said the Arel can't eat Truma, but you're not considered an Arel. But Midivrehem, Gazru Alab, Mipneshan, your Ek Arel. But the rabbis made a Gzera because he looks like an Arel. Okay, so Mida Rabbanan, he's not allowed to eat Truma anymore. So now we're going to have a whole discussion about this. Is it really true? And what are the different options? We're going to see really a few different options about how we treat him. Rav Huna says the middle position, which is mutar midoraita, asur midrabanan, for a mashuch to eat truma. So now they're going to ask from one direction. They're going to say meitive. It says in a braita, mashuch tzarich sheimo, which sounds like it's midoraita. He has to do a brit milah. So if he has to do a brit milah, then it's asur for him to eat truma midoraita. So in the answer, no, don't worry about that source. That source means tzarich sheimo midrabanan. Okay? In other words, he needs to do a brit milah, midrabanan. It doesn't mean he needs to do it midoraita. And then it matches Rav Huna, who says, midrabanan, we treat him as an arel. Midoraita, he's mahu. So now, they ask the question, udikarile mai karila. What did the guy think in the first place when he brought this question, the Amora who brought this question and said, mashuch tzarich sheimol, why did he even have this question? Hat tzarich katane. What does it say? It says, mashuch tzarich sheimol. Mashuch tzarich sheimo sounds like he needs to do it. Why does he need to do it? It sounds like because midrabanan, he's considered an arel. Because if you wanted to say that he was really an arel midoraita, you'd say mahul ke'arel or something, right? I'm sorry, mashuch ke'arel. Okay? So he's saying the word tzarich sheimo seems to imply that he needs to do it midrabanan, so I don't even know why you asked this question. So now they say no. This is what he thought. Katai, he made a ta'ud, right? The guy who asked the question thought that it was midoraita. Why do you think it was midoraita? Because he made a mistake from the seifa of that source, okay? We only quoted the first three words of that source. Mashuch tzarich sheimo. But the continuation of the braita says like this. Rabbi Yehuda omer, lo yimo, mipnei shesakana hilo. What were they worried about? Rashi explained they were worried about him having some injury there and then becoming like a ptua dakar, kurchupcha, one of these problems that could happen, so they certainly didn't want to, right? They were worried, I guess, he would be a karuchupcha, right? That they would cut it too far and then it would be a problem. So Rabbi Yehuda says, don't give a brit milah to this mashuch, okay? He disagrees with Tanakama. Tanakama says, tzarich shimo. Rabbi Yehuda says, you can't because it's sakanailo. Amrulo, the chachabim, who said, you're supposed to give him a brit milah, said to him, Bahalo, harbe malubi, ame ben koziva. Right, that's Bar Kochba. Veholidu banim ubanot. Okay? Many people did this, meaning they were mishuchim. Okay? They must have been, this is a case, I assume, of people who were trying to look like they weren't Jewish. And then they did it, right? They did a new brit milah because they were considered mashuch and they needed to do a brit milah. So here you see it's not sakana. Okay? Now, How are they proving this? And here's going to be our problem here. Shenemar, and now they're going to prove it from psukim. They're going to say the psukim prove that the mashuch has to do a brit milah, which means if we're proving it from psukim, what does it come out? That it's doraita. Okay? That's going to be our problem. So now how do they prove it from the psukim? Shenemar, himol yimol. Okay? There's a dual lashon in that pasuk. Okay, that's in Breshi with Avraham. It says, Himol yimol yili beitecha, umiknat kaspecha, vayita briti b'psochem lebrit olam. That's the first duplicity. Okay? Himol yimol. It just could have said, himol. Okay? You know, do the brit milah. Himol yimol is double. So what does it teach you? Afilu mea pami. You have to do it even 100 times. And if you have some sort of an issue, we're going to see exactly what we learned from this. But afilu mea pami. Velmer et briti hafer. Okay, that's hefar. That's in the next pasuk. Okay, I'll read you the whole pasuk. Ba'arel zachar asher lo yimol basar olato. If he doesn't do the brit milah, v'nichrita hanefesh ahime ameha. Okay, he gets karet et briti hefar because he violated my covenant. Okay, now the words et briti hefar are also unnecessary. You could just say you get karet. It doesn't have to say you've broken the covenant. Okay, so now they say from the extra words there, lirabot et hamashuch. We add the mashuch. Okay, we learn that the mashuch it says ebriti hefar must include an additional case. We've seen this a lot, right? Ish, for example, includes an additional case, or however you have it. So additional words mean we're going to add an extra case. What's the extra case? A mashuch has to do with brit milah. So now, what do you see? We've proven this midah oraita. But before we get there, we're going to have to explain why we brought two psukim to prove this. Why you need the duplicity of himol yimol and the duplicity of ebriti hefar. One would be enough. So my ve'omer, this is the way this often happens. It's a structure where they bring two psukim and they say, it says this, ve'omer this. Okay? And it says this pasuk. So then they're going to say, my ve'omer. In other words, what's the point of bringing this second pasuk? What does it add? So now they say very simply, b'chite mahay yimol yimol. Maybe the himol yimol is l'rabot tzitzin ha-ma'agvin et ha-milah. Maybe that's if you didn't do the brit milah properly. You left over some parts. Tashma ebriti hefar l'rabot et ha-mashuch. So therefore you say himol yimol is to add in the tzitzin ha-ma'agvin if you didn't do the brit milah properly. But if you did the brit milah properly and yet it got stretched later and you now look like you don't have a brit milah, that's added in the words ebriti hefar. Those are two different cases. Okay. So now again, why did we bring this? Rav Huna. Rav Huna had said, a mashuch is chayav only midrabanan to do a brit milah again, right? He, midoraita, he can eat truma, he's totally fine. Midrabanan, he can't eat truma, which means, obviously, that in order to fix himself midrabanan, he needs to do brit milah. Then they brought this source, and what did they say, right? Midaka nasiv lahashas kra, since the source here, the shas, okay, they're saying the source here, used a pasuk, doraitahi, it must be doraita. Okay, I skipped the words husavar. Okay, what did this guy, when he asked this question, okay, remember, it says mashuch tzarich shi'imo, right? We have the braita, mashuch tzarich shi'imo. So what did we explain? That must be drabana, to explain Rav Huna shita, right? It's only Durban. So they're asking, what did the guy who brought this as a question on Rav Huna even think in the first place? So they said, because there's this discussion that goes on at the end of the Braita between Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim, and in the end, Chachamim, who say, Mashuch Tzarich Shi'imo, explain themselves using Psukim. He thought, right, the guy who brought the question, thought that because there's Psukim, it must be, it's Doraita. And then the answer is going to be, right, if you remember this, Velohi midrabanan ukras machta ba'alma. We say this many times. When they bring psukim, it doesn't always mean that the halacha is doraita. Sometimes they bring psukim just so you remember a halacha. And that's only midrabanan. The rabbis connected the pasuk to the halacha. Okay? And therefore, in the end, it's only midrabanan. That's the first question on Rav Huna. Now we're going to have another question. Meitibe, another braita. Tum tum ein ochel b'truma. Okay, you have a guy who, or a person, right? We don't know if it's a guy or a male or female. And his organs, his sexual organs are covered. We don't know if he's male or female. Nashav va'avadav ochlim. His wives and his slaves can eat truma. Okay, he can't eat truma, but his wives and his slaves can eat truma. Okay, you might be wondering, has he have a wife? Okay, we're going to get to that. Okay? Mashuch v'nolad keshuhu mahul. Okay, if you're mashuch though, okay, And you know, like shumahu, hare elo ochlim. What do you see here, right? They do eat truma. Okay, against Rav Huna, who said midrabanan, they can't eat truma, right? Androgynous ochel betruma ve'ein ochel bekodashim. Okay, if you have someone who has both male and female signs or sexual organs, or I don't know exactly what the case is. Okay, but that's an androgynous. He has both, rather than he. We don't know what he has. Androgynous can eat truma. Why can he eat truma over the tumtum? The tumtum can't eat truma very simply. Maybe he's a male, and if he's a male, he's an orel because there's never brit milah. Okay, the androgynous has signs of both, so he clearly gets a brit milah. So he has a brit milah, so he's not an orel, so he can eat truma. Ve'ein ochel b'kodashim, but he can't eat kodshim because maybe he's a woman, and a woman can't eat kodshim. Tumtum eino ochel lo b'truma v'lo b'kodshim. Okay, a tumtum can't eat either truma or kodshim. And now this is weird, because in the beginning it already said, tumtum eino ochel b'truma. So why does it say at the end now, tumtum eino ochel lo b'truma v'lo b'kodshim? That's where they're going to get into their issue here, okay? Ketani mihat, mashuch v'nola kashum mahul, hare elu ochlim. Okay, so now, oh, the truth is right. We're not going to get into this tumtum thing yet. But anyway, right now, what does it say? It says here, here's our question. It says, mashuch, hare elu ochlim. And Rav Huna said, they can't eat midrabanan, right? And clearly the Braita, if it was midrabanan, the Braita would say so, that you can't eat midrabanan. So here we have a clear contradiction, right? This Braita goes against Rav Huna. So the Gemara says, tiyufta de Rav Huna tiyufta. The question, Rav Huna is a good question. We don't have an answer. Okay, which sort of indicates that they reject Rav Huna. Okay? And some of the Mepharshim go by that.
The child is the child of the Mashuch.
Oh, no. The child is a separate case. Nolad Kishu Mahul is a different case. Okay? That's someone who's born circumcised, right? Where they don't have the Orla. They're born without an Orla there. That's a second separate case. It doesn't have to do with our case. It's just a regular Nolad Kishu Mahul. Remember, we saw there was a Machloket yesterday. Or 2 days ago. Right. Does he need to do Tambrit or does he not need to do Tambrit? Okay? Right. So this seems to imply he doesn't need to do it, right? Because Nolad Kishu Mahul, he can eat Truma, means he's not considered an Orla. Okay?
I thought it was the child that was allowing the Mashuch to eat.
No. Okay. Two separate cases. Okay. Mashuch? Right.
Got it.
I didn't explain that one.
Sorry.
Okay. No, it's fine. Good to ask. Amar Mar. Now we're going to go back to this Braita that we just quoted. Tum tum enu achel betruma, nashav abadav ochlim. Okay? So first question is, nashav le tum tum minale, right? Where does he have a wife from? How could he have a wife if he doesn't, right? He doesn't have
wives. Not just one.
Right. Wives also. Okay, right. It doesn't, whether he has one or more, we don't know. So ilema de kadish, maybe he, not that he's actually married to someone, meaning, right, they had sexual relations, but he did kiddushin, irusin, right? He gets engaged to a woman. Ditanya, because it says in a braita, tumtum shekidesh kiddushav kiddushin. Okay, what's the issue? This is all a case of suffix. A guy gets up and he says, a tumtum gets up, he says, haram mikudesh adlib tabatzo kedat moshev Yisrael. How do we treat that? Is she allowed to marry other people? Is she an Esherish, right? So obviously, like everything, when we have a suffix in this kind of a situation, we're going to go l'chumra. We're going to say, maybe he's a man. And if he's a man, the kiddushin was a good kiddushin. And therefore, we're going to say that she needs a divorce, okay? Or the flip side. If a tumtum is nitkadesh, okay? He's treated as a woman, okay? Or it's treated as a woman, okay? And someone marries this tumtum. Is this right? How do we treat that marriage? Is it as if it was a marriage or not a marriage? Okay, which has all sorts of ramifications, right? Let's say the guy dies without kids. It's chayv nibum, right? All sorts of things, right? Obviously, the man can marry more wives. It's not, is the man an eish adish, but there's all sorts of other ramifications. So now, so tumtum shekidesh kiddushav kiddushin and nit kadesh kiddushav kiddushin. Okay, again, whether he was married, he married or was married. So, but if you're going to say that, and that would imply, that's why this tumtum could have a wife. He could have a wife because he got engaged to someone. And that would allow her, according to this, to eat truma, right? So first of all, there's a big problem. We already said you can't eat truma if you're engaged. So I don't know how they even don't ask that question, but okay. But they say I have a different problem. They say that whole statement, maybe they don't even need to get to that because they have a different problem, which is, Imar da amar lechumra, but lekula mi amrinan savik ishu ve'ein isha mekadeshet isha. Okay, so now they're saying, who ever said that? That's just a chumra. That's we take a savik. It's maybe it's a man or maybe it's a woman, and therefore we have to treat it lechumra. But we certainly wouldn't allow it lekula to say that that we can eat truma because maybe it's a woman. And if a woman marries another woman, that's not a kiddushin, and therefore they can't. How could you allow him to? How could you allow this tumtum to allow someone else to eat truma? Right? That's the kula. That's saying, oh, let's assume it's a man and therefore can allow the wife to eat truma. It doesn't make any sense to go that direction. In other words, that source of tumtum shukidesh kiddushak kiddushin is clearly, we're just treating it l'chumra. It certainly wouldn't say the opposite, that we're going to treat it l'kula. So now we're going to have two different answers. How could a tumtum have a wife? Amar Abaye, kishe beitzav nikarot mibachutz. Okay, he has signs of testicles, and therefore it's clear that the person has signs of being a man. It's a tumtum of a certain type, okay? And therefore that's the case. Rava Amar, and that way this tumtum is allowed to feed his wife truma. It's a certain type, okay? It's not any tumtum. Rava Amar, mainashav, it doesn't mean his wives. When it says his wives, it means emo. Okay, I don't know, Freudian or something, right? His mother, his wife. Okay, but it meant his mother. He can feed his mother truma. So what do you mean he can feed his mother truma, right? What does that obviously mean? We already know, right? It means if the mother was married to a Kohen and the Kohen dies and all her children are dead, right? Or she never had any other children except for this one tumtum, this tumtum can allow her to eat truma. Okay, it's considered, right? Like we said, the mom's there is considered her zera. This tumtum is considered her zera. So now they're saying, what do you mean? Imo pshita. Obviously, he can feed his mother truma. You wouldn't need a special halacha. It's her, right? This tumtum is a child of hers. Whether it has no issue whether the tumtum is a male or a female. It doesn't mean she has to have male children to feed her truma. Any child she has, any zera from this kohen, allows her to eat truma. So why should a tumtum be any different? So now they say, I know. The tumtum has something different that maybe we would think that it would be excluded from this halacha. Ma'u detema molid ma'achil. This reminds us a bit of the yilod ma'achil, the she'enu yilod lo ma'achil, right? That the fetus isn't born yet, so it can't be feed anyone truma, even though it's a very different case. It's just the lashon sounds similar. You might have thought that molid ma'achil, someone who can have other children, right? Someone who has capabilities of reproducing, would be out loud to ma'achil. But she'enu molid eno ma'achil. You might have thought this tumtum can't have children, and therefore this tumtum wouldn't be allowed to feed his mother truma. Kamash malam, we learn from here, though, that he does. Okay? That's not a criteria for feeding truma to a mother. Okay. That was the first question. How could he have a wife? So we have two answers, either Beitzav Nikarim, or it's his mother and not his wife. Tashma. Now we're going to bring a source to support, I forgot, I think it's to support Abaye or to question Abaye, I don't remember. Let's read it and then we'll see. Tumtum eino ochel lo b'truma. Right, it's to support Abaye. Tumtum eino ochel lo b'truma v'lo b'kodashim. Remember, the Gemara started, the Mishnah, the Braita started out and said, Tumtum, right, eino ochel b'truma, but his wives can eat truma, and his avadim can eat truma. And then the last line of the Braita, then it goes to the Androgynous and the Mashuch and that. And then the last line is, Tumtum eino ochel lo b'truma v'lo b'kodashim. Which seems to be basically the same thing as the first line, except it adds kodashim, but it doesn't make any sense that it's structured. Right? The problem is, it talks about the tumtum in the first line, about truma. It talks about the tumtum in the last line regarding truma and kodashim, but it doesn't make any sense, right, that it wouldn't put this all together, and why is it bringing the tumtum in at the end? What's going on? So they're going to say, this makes a lot of sense according to Abaye. Why? Bishlam al Abaye, why? Because Tana Reisha Arel Vadai, Uktane Seifa Safek Arel. There's two different kinds of tumtums according to Abaye. There's ones whose beitzav nikarot mibachutz, and there's ones who aren't. So the beitzav nikarot mibachutz is a clear arel. He's an arel vada. That's the guy who, right, who can get married, right, who can have wives, and therefore, because we know for sure he's a man, so his kiddushin would be kiddushin, right, not even mishum safek, and therefore could feed his wife truma, okay? So he is a vadai arel. But the second tumtum, where it says lo tochal lo b'truma v'lo b'kodashim, is the safek arel case, and it's coming to tell you even a safek arel who has no signs, and we don't know, maybe he's a man, maybe he's a woman, that also, that kind of a person can't eat truma. Ela l'rava, but Rava, who has one kind of tumtum de seifa lamali. So what's the seifa doing then? Why is it? What's it adding? My tumtum lamali. My tumtum arel. Okay, if you're going to say the tumtum is an arel, okay, so hashta safek arel lo achil, vadai arel achil. In other words, maybe you're going to say, according to him, the tumtum doesn't mean tumtum. Tumtum means arel. That's what we're going to say, okay? And then we're going to say, Since a sefek arel lo achil, as vaday arel achil, in other words, it doesn't make any sense then. The first part of the Mishnah talks about a tumtum, who's a sefek arel, and he can't eat truma. So now you're going to tell us, well, a vaday arel can't eat truma? In other words, they're just saying that the word tumtum, don't think it means tumtum. It means arel vaday, a regular person without a brit milah. But then it doesn't make any sense. They would start off with a sefek case and then say a vaday case. If the sefek case already can't eat truma, then obviously the vaday case can't eat truma. So now they're going to say, no, this is the way Rebbe would have to explain. Matam kamar. The Mishnah structure, the Braita is structured in a way that it's a matam, meaning the first line is the halacha, and the last line is explaining the halacha. So the tumtum in the second case means an arel, and it's telling you that the tumtum in the beginning is a suffix arel, and that's the reason he can't eat truma, because a vaday arel can't eat truma, and therefore, so that's what they're saying. Matam tumtum enu achel b'truma, mishum she suffix arel hu, v'arel enu achel lo b'truma v'lo b'kodshim. And that's how you read it. You follow? And then you just have to pretend there's no words in between, right? Because then it doesn't exactly make sense that you have this mashuch and nolab mahul and droginus in between. But it's really, tumtum can't eat truma. Why? Because a vaday arel can't eat truma and not kodshim. And therefore, the sefek arel can't eat truma. That's where it comes from. Okay. So therefore, we've ended. That was all just to explain this braita. We went off on a tangent. Now we're coming back to Rav Huna. Okay? Yeah.
Do you think they checked all this stuff? You know, somebody
checked what? If someone was
before they got married, like they're so meduyak.
Well, wait till we get to if we were talking about the virgin. That's gonna be the whole beginning of Ketubah. Okay, what if someone claims his wife wasn't a virgin, and if he gets married and then says, "Wait, she wasn't a virgin," and what do you do?
But is there's a double standard? I mean, they've got all these problems. Like they get married, nobody says anything. Does anybody check? Do you know what I'm saying?
About well, these
all
are two different things.
Men. Like if with they're a drug, I mean, somebody should have checked before.
Right.
Like, chuppah,
right. No, I imagine if you marry an androgynous or a tumtum, that you know wouldn't be a good kiddushin. If you find out they are, I assume it's, you know, it's a problem. These people are not considered.
But nobody checks anything before the chuppah, women or men.
I don't know. It doesn't say they're not checking. Here they're talking about that they knew who was a tumtum and androgynous. They're not talking about cases where they didn't know. They're saying this is the case. If someone happens to be.
It's limited only to the sexual organs because it's hormonal, and then your whole outward look or your behavior would also indicate that you're not particularly masculine or feminine. And I think it was known. Unless they were getting married when they were 3 or 9 years old, then you couldn't.
Right, you couldn't tell.
But otherwise, it would have been known. You'd go into adulthood.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting. But I think it's very different than the virginity. You know, that's a whole separate thing. I mean, we're going to get to that.
Yeah.
That's next.
It's a good time.
Okay. So remember, Rav Huna said, Midurabanan, he needs a brit milah. Midoraita, he's okay. That's mashuch. So now they're going to say, Lema Ketanai. Why don't we say that what Rav Huna says is a Machloket Tanaim? Remember, we rejected it then because we rejected him and we said that according to the source, right, it says he can, right, Ochel Betruma. According to this source, right, we're going to see actually there's really three options. The source that contradicted Rav Huna seemed to imply that he doesn't even need a Brit Milah, right? He can eat Truma even without doing anything to fix it. But now we're going to say, why don't we say it's a machloket tana'im? And now we're going to show it's a machloket tana'im. Dafka, nobody holds that he doesn't have to do anything, okay? But either it's midoraita or it's midorabanan, okay? He had said, remember, it's midorabanan. But now we're going to show that even there's an opinion that says it's midoraita. Here's a braita. Mashuch, begir shenitgayer kashuhu mahul, okay? So a mashuch. Or a ger, a convert who is circumcised before he converts. Right, when he was born, maybe they circumcised him. Right, lo l'shem yahadut. V'katan sh'avar zmano. Okay, a baby who is past the 8th day. Ushar kol hanimolim. Okay, and anyone else who gets a brit milah for whatever reason. La'atu yemi sheyesh lo shtei orlo. Like, for example, someone who has two orlas and has to get rid of them. Einam nimolim ela bayom. Everybody who gets a brit milah, we always do brit milah during the day. That's Tanakam. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Bizmano ein nimolim ela bayom. Shelo bizmano nimolim bayom ubalayla. Okay? If you do your brit milah bizman, then you do it during the day. But if it's not bizmano, then you do it anytime you want. Why should it be the opposite? Well, okay, I'll tell you why they learn it all. Because they learn it from ubayom hashmini mol basar lato. Okay? On the 8th day. They take day very literally. On that day. But once it's not on the 8th day, then it doesn't matter. Okay, we're going to see What's the other side? The other side says, no, ubayom. Remember the darshan, the vavin, right? If you darshan the letter vav, we saw this before, right? Some people did, some people didn't. If you darshan the letter vav, then it comes to include other cases. And then when it's going to include other cases, it's going to include everything else. So, yeah.
A Jewish day is 24 hours. I mean, you could argue that it's...
Yeah, but they take the word day to mean day. Okay?
At least here.
So now, right, in this case. In a lot of cases, they do it. But, okay. Anyway, now we're going to see another case where they do it. So first they're saying, they want to use this to say, this is based on our machloket. Why? My la b'haikam niflage, to mar savar mashuk d'oraito, mar savar mashuk d'rabanan. Why don't you say that this is what the machloket's based on? That if it's d'oraita, then it has to be during the day. Once you take it down a level to a d'rabanan, then we don't care if it's during the day or at night. But then they say that, how could you possibly say that? Because then what would you have to say? That all the cases where it doesn't have to be, right? It could be all the cases listed. Gershin itzgayer shumahu. Katan shavar zmano. What a katan shavar zmano, you're going to say is only mitzvah rabbanan has to do a brit milah? Mm-hmm. The whole concept is, oh, these are not, right? These don't have to do it during the day. They could do it at night because they're rabbanans. That doesn't make any sense. Because the other cases aren't rabbanans, okay? So now they're going to say, could you really say that? Katan shavar zmano, mi ika laman tamar d'rabbanan? Does anybody say katan shavar zmano is only chayam d'rabbanan? Ella tikule alma mashuch d'rabbanan. Bekatan shavar zmano d'oraita. So then they say, we're going to line everyone up with Rav Huna. We're not going to say it's a machloket tanaim. We're going to say, everyone agrees with Rav Huna that a mashuch needs a brit milah d'rabbanan only. And the katan shavar zmano barur that it's d'oraita. But the machloket has nothing to do with that. Okay, this isn't because d'oraita is d'rabbanan. V'hacha b'hacha miflegei. Mar savar d'rshinan ubayom. Umar savar lo darshinan ubayom. Okay, it's all machloket. Do you darshin this word ubayom, or do you not darshin the vav? Okay, kihadi yatav Rabbi Yochanan. Now we're going to see a story. Okay, Rabbi Yochanan was sitting the kadarish notar. He taught about the case of notar. What's the case of notar? Notar is when you leave over a korban, right? But notar mimenu aboker ba'esh tisareth. Okay, so you have to burn it. Okay, but the next day. Okay, so now, by notar, it also says the word ubayom. Okay? Bahanotar mi besar zevach bayom ashlishi. I quoted the wrong pasuk. That was a different one. We talked about notar in the past on Pesach. But here it talks about a regular korban. What's left from the basar zevach bayom ashlishi, ba'eshi saref. Okay? You have to burn it on the third day. So now, what is he going to say? So Rabbi Yochanan is sitting and he explains this. Notar bizmano, if you're going to burn it on the third day, eino nisraf ela bayom, because it says bayom ashlishi. Shelo bizmano, but if you already didn't burn it for whatever reason, and you're burning it the next day or the day after, shelo bizmano nisraf bein bayom bein balayla. Okay, you can burn it either during the day or at night. Ve'etive, so now he darshan this. Ve'etive Rabbi Elazar la Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Elazar comes and says, okay, we'll see, this is Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat, because later he's going to call him ben Pedat, okay, so just so you'll know. Rabbi Elazar says to Rabbi Yochanan, Eli el animol l'shmona, she'en nimol el abayom. Okay, I know that animol b'shmona has to be nimol bayom, but minayin l'rabot l'tisha l'asara l'chadasar l'shneimasar. This actually, we saw this in Shabbat, where they talk about there's different cases where l'halacha, you would have to do it on the 9th, the 10th, the 11th, the 12th, right? If he's born ben Hashmasho, if it's Rosh Hashanah, l'dugma, you can't do it on Rosh Hashanah, right? If it's not clearly Bazman, then if he was like ben Hashmasho on Erev Rosh Hashanah, so then you'd have to push it off, mm-hmm. Right? You could come up with a case where you would do it dafka on the Shneimasar. So how do you know if you're doing it on another day? It has to be during the day. Tamud Lamar, right. Tamud Lamar, Ubayom. Okay? It says Ubayom. Fafilu leman delo darish vav. Vav vehe darish. Okay, even if you're going to not darshan the vavs, you can darshan the vav and the hay. This is a big question. What's the vav and the hay? Some people say it's talking about the pasuk by notar. Some people say it's ubayom. I don't know if you know Hebrew grammar, but ubayom, how do you translate it in English? And on the day, right? It has a hay yidia in there. Even though there's no hay, the ba functions as a bet and a hay yidia. Okay, so some people say that's what it is. It's uvih ubayom. Some people say ubayom hashmini, that there's a vav of the ubayom and the hay of the hashmini. It was a big debate where this vav and hay is talking about. But anyway, so what does he say? Even if you're not going to darish vav, you're going to darish vav and hay, and therefore it's clear that the bizmana, okay, by mila, and then obviously it's going to go back to the case of notar that Rabbi Yochanan was talking about. We're going to say that clearly, Rabbi Yochanan was wrong, okay? Because even when it's lo bizmana, it would have to be during the day. So what did Rabbi Yochanan do? Ishtik. Okay, he was just silent. In other words, he realized Rabbi Lezer ben Padat was right and he was wrong, and that notar you can't, right? And notar, and obviously brit milah also, when it's lo bizmana, it also has to be during the day. So now the story continues. Batar de nafak, after Rabbi Lezer ben Padat left, Amar le Rabbi Yochanan le Rish Lakish. Okay, Rabbi Yochanan says to Rish Lakish, Ra'ita le ben Padat yoshev doresh kemoshem lipia gvura. Wow, like he said, sorry, Ra'iti, not Ra'ita. He says, I saw ben Padat, and he made a drasha like Moshe Rabbeinu. It was like as if he came right down from Shemayim, right? God spoke to him, and he said this amazing thing. It's a great line. Amalei, it gets better. Amalei Rish Lakish, didehi. What, you think he made that up? Matzidehi, it's a braita. Like, where are you? You know, didn't you? Don't you know that braita? So now he says, so Rabbi Yochanan says to him, Hechitanalei, where does it say that? So he says, B'torah Kohanim. Says it in... It's called the Sifra. It's a Midrash Halacha. It's also called Torah Kohanim. It's a Midrash Halacha on Sefer Vayikra. It says it there. So what did they say about Rabbi Yochanan? Okay, what do you think this made him do? Nafik Tanya B'tlata Yome. He went out and learned the entire Torah Kohanim in 3 days. Usfara B'tlata Yarche. And then he darshaned it, right, and understood it really well after 3 months. Okay? Nothing like Kinat Sofrim, Tarbech Chochma. Okay? He realized... Right, well, not necessarily kind of suffering, but he just realized, oh my God, I can't believe I don't know this, you know, and I feel like such an idiot, right? And he goes out and he learns the entire thing. Okay, I guess we'll stop here and we'll pick up with this tomorrow. Okay, this is all about what about an Arel who does Hazaah? Is it considered kasher or not? They compare him to a Tvul Yom. We're going to see. We'll go through the whole sukkah. See, tomorrow's a little short. Maybe we could. Maybe we'll have time to catch up. Okay.